have no idea what loss is.
You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it? Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat. Oh, Ellie. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Skylantic television series. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been an interesting day waiting to do this and thinking about this and everything else. All right, this is for The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 2, Through the Valley, just to make sure everybody's very clear, because we do have three different versions of the podcast. This is the spoiler review for the episode. There'll be no future spoiler predictions. There might be spoiler-free predictions, because I have a few things I want to bring up. But yes, it will just be spoilers for this particular episode. And if you haven't seen it, please do leave, because in a polite way, go and listen to my spoiler-free review. I put that out a few days ago, so... Just to make sure everybody's very clear on what they're listening to.
Yes.
Season 2, Episode 2, Through the Valley, that good old song that I've been listening to today again. David, what did you think of this episode?
It's not like anything big happened, is it? Oh, man. I mean, I had my suspicions that something like that might happen. Just from the fact that when you talk about the second game, you talk much more about playing Ellie, and Joel is nowhere really to be seen. But I wasn't sure whether they were on two like separate journeys in some way, but nope. Yeah, I mean, it was brilliant. It's great coming to something like this not knowing the video game, because obviously you were expecting what was going to happened. But that was kind of really nicely done. I thought it. They managed to keep the sort of tension and stuff in it. We'll have to have a conversation about whether that differs from the video game or not. I don't know how drastically they changed it in terms of what happens to Joel, but I just thought it was great. And you much more of Abby in this episode as well, who's a very interesting character. So the Jackson stuff was sort of reminding me a little bit of some of the big Walking Dead set pieces as well. So it's interesting because those big zombie horde sort of things that you got in Walking Dead never seem quite as threatening as these guys do, because these are your sort of fast zombies as opposed to the your shambling zombies that you have in Walking Dead. So, that's sort of an interesting difference as well. But overall, just really good. I mean, they seem to take to heart the fact that first season didn't really have any huge kind of big set piece things, and this one really does. So, yeah.
Nice. After, again, doing three watches, I've got like a routine kind of down for it now. I think this episode's awesome and I really love it. It's interesting because my second and third watches are very different to my first, because obviously in those two I know more of what's coming up. Sure, I can sit there and guess on my first watch and that, but I don't know what the actual footage of the episode is going to be. I can guess based on what I know from the game and what might come up next, but I don't know exactly how it's going to happen or it's different structural stuff. They are playing around with a few things, which is very interesting. And I do recommend listening to Craig and Neil and Troy as well on they kind of go through the episodes and talk about certain things that happen, why they made certain choices, that sort of stuff.
Mentioned, yeah,
Sorry.
just you mentioned Troy there. Is that Troy Baker, the voice of
Yeah,
Joel?
because he
So,
hosts it, so yeah.
I see. Okay, yes, I've been meaning to ask that just to clarify. Yes, I have met Troy Baker a number of times. So,
Oh, nice,
yes,
nice.
usually with what's the other voice guy that they do a lot of
Oh,
stuff
Lone and
together?
North?
Nolan North.
Yeah,
Yes,
Nathan Drake.
him and Nolan, we've got a few videos up on the Geek Town YouTube channel of Troy and Nolan, and they are hilarious together. So yes, always fun when they turn up at MCM. So
Yeah, very, very Naughty Dog centric guys. So,
yes.
but I tell you something though, like, okay, with the first episode, it was more the happy tears when the Dina Ellie dance scene was happening, of course, until Seth butts in. But before that, everything was really nice. And this, it's much, much, much more, obviously, sad tears and things like that. But for an episode that can. Again, I don't know what way it's going to happen or the specific mechanics, but as it's getting closer to that scene, and I'm getting kind of, and I'm getting nervous and out, TV anxious, not real life anxious, whatever. For an episode that I watched 3 times over 3 days, that can still make me feel the same way, even knowing fully, like when and how with the second and third watch, it's going to make me feel the same way. I can't do anything but give massive, massive credit to that. And the fact that, because I don't do that sort of thing, I've never really had a reason to watch, the same episode 3 times in the same week or the same film, twice in a week or whatever. And my brain does not work like that usually. I mean, even when I went to like rewatch season 1 and stuff and like knowing what was coming up and that sort of thing, but that was 2 years later, year and a bit later or whatever. So I've got to give just massive, massive credit for that, like for just being able to make me feel that same way, from the same scenes 3 times. I mean, that wasn't their target. The target is to, okay, make the viewer have a feeling or whatever, after just the first watch. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to say when we I'll save my like specific thoughts and stuff when we get to the scene, because I'm sure we'll have plenty to say. Aside from that, because it's not just that in the episode, I love what they've done with Tommy in this episode. The one thing I said, been saying for a while, excuse me, and also said in either episode 1 or the preview. Sometimes I remember the things I've said about Last of Us, but I don't always remember the exact episodes because there's just so many at this point. But I remember either in the preview or episode 1 or whatever, and I said like, okay, I think across both games and with season 1 as well, Tommy is probably the most underserviced main character. I mean, as much as you might look at Joel and Ellie and go, okay, they're the main two, he is Joel's brother. He is very, very important. He's not just some, kind of side character or something. I loved seeing, and Maria as well, like she's even less serviced than Tommy is in the story because she's in it even less than what Tommy is. I loved seeing those two kind of go through that, and that put together with this really, really incredible spectacle that they've put on at Jackson, none of which is in the game at all. You do not do any of that in the game. There's no barrels or, wall getting knocked down, none of that kind of stuff. So it's great. It's great as well when you can A, adapt a video game very well and change things, but then you do take a risk when you put new stuff in, because what if the new stuff doesn't work or it doesn't gel or it feels out of place, or I imagine that's their own kind of headache to deal with. But I thought that was really, really awesome as well. And just, Tommy with the bloater and all that kind of stuff. Just him getting more kind of development, more screen time, seeing him be a leader as well, like rallying the troops of Jackson, I thought was fantastic. There's that little conversation he has with the girl about, like, in the forest. No, we don't go in the forest. Even little moments like that I thought really good. I was thinking something as well while watching this episode. I mean, I had a lot of thoughts watching this episode. I think this might be a better version of Maria and Tommy,
Right.
because we're getting more of both of them, especially Maria, it's not that hard to make better versions of them because they've had more kind of screen time. When you're doing things like this, and they have had more screen time and stuff, so I thought that was incredible as well. Yeah, there's lots of other stuff I want to praise, but we should probably do that when we go through the scenes. But like, yeah, there was always a question of like, okay, how are they going to do it? Are they going to do it well? Granted, it is a bit different to what they do in the game, but if you just look fundamentally at, okay, almost forget the game for a moment, the mechanics and the way that they've set out to do the things in this episode of those specific elements, if you ignore even what's going on in the game, the way they've set out to do things in this episode, I thought they nailed that particular approach. Whether you think that's better or worse than what they do in the game or whatever, is almost like a different kind of discussion. Yeah, very, very, very good stuff. And yeah, got a lot of feedback to get into, some notes to get into, and some housekeeping. So yeah, let's get to all that in a second.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, so recently on Entertainment Talk, there was no gaming talk this week. We're going to come back with that next week. But as of yesterday, I did do my bonus spoiler predictions episode. So taking what we know from episodes 1 and 2, the scenes that we have, the scenes that we haven't had yet, and the scenes that we haven't got to yet as well, noting a few of those down. Obviously talking about the Joel stuff here, and predicting where the rest of the episodes might go. Again, do not listen to those episodes if you don't know about the game. Because I'll be talking, that's where kind of everything's on the table. If you want to listen to my admittedly emotional spoiler-free review, if you want to go back to that or whatever, for Season 2, Episode 2, you can check that out. I tell you what, just the mechanic alone of trying to talk about this episode without spoiling it
yeah.
might be one of the biggest challenges I've had as a content creator. Because you don't realise until you sit down on the mic of like, I don't even want to spoil the subtle stuff, so what do I... I could just talk about my thoughts and feelings, really, but that was a very interesting challenge. So, did a film review this week. Warfare came out, which is a new Alex Garland film. Gave it a strong must-see. Really, really like what they did with that, so that's out in theatres or cinemas right now. It's called Warfare. Gave that a strong must-see. Another strong must-see, Daredevil Born Again is finished for Season 1. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. So that was really good. Over on Political Talk this week, of course, I brought up the Supreme Court situation in the UK. Talked about some, it was a big kind of trans episode this week because that's all of the discussion at the moment. In terms of other things like the tariffs and stuff, I've already kind of talked about some of that before anyway, but highlighting that event from this week. Over in the United cast, I'm not covering every game for this season at the moment. I've given reasons to why. I'm not going to explain them here. But we did beat Lyon somehow 5-4 in the Europa League. It was an incredible dramatic comeback. So we're through to the next round of the Europa League. On Gaming Talk last week, we talked about Sabrina Carpenter being added to Fortnite. We talked about Bungie, Marathon, and some Last of Us stuff as well. And that is, yeah, pretty much what we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get to the recap. Last of Us 2 or 2 through the valley. After taking shelter in an abandoned mansion near Jackson, Wyoming, Abby has a dream in which she warns her past self not to enter a room where someone was killed. It did say here where he was killed, but I don't want to... I know we know what's going on now, but I just wanted to keep it the same way here. Not to enter a room where someone was killed, a he or a him, someone like that. When she awakes, she remains steadfast on her mission to kill Joel. While her friends, concerned about the town's security and her lack of a plan, consider retreating. Abby leaves to scope out Jackson, and Owen tells the rest of the group he will try to convince her to return to Seattle, which we know that he fails to do. Want to give a shout out actually to, I think he's called Spencer Lord, the guy playing as Owen. Owen is, his favourite might be a strong word, but I really like him and I like his story a lot. Now, for those of you that played the game, that there's one like small thing that Owen does later on in this story, and people really kind of moan at him for it. And I was thinking about, because, you know, I'm thinking about these characters' choices and their morals and where everything is, which is what you're sort of supposed to do with Last of Us. And I'm watching Owen do his thing in this episode, and I was thinking about something that he does later on. It's not anything, like, massive. Compared to what other characters do in this story, it's actually quite a small thing. And I was thinking of that when he was talking, and when, because this is like, okay, we've had some... scenes with this group, but this is like more of a full-on thing, right? Like more of a full introduction. And I was like, I'm fine with what he does later on. I have no problem with that at all. I know I can't speak about that here because it's going to be a bit later in the story. But for those of you that know what I'm talking about, I don't have a problem with it anymore. I didn't when it first happened in the game anyway, but I've settled on kind of more of it. Anyway, because, you know, everyone's coming away from this episode going, you know, Pedro did really well, Bella did really well, Kate, you know, everybody's doing really well. I like what he's doing with Owen as well. Now, that doesn't mean that when we get these characters in the show that they have to be copy and paste versions of what we had in the game, because you've got different actors playing them, they're going to have their own takes and stuff. But I like what he's doing with Owen, and I like Owen quite a lot. I like Abby quite a lot as well, but that doesn't make sense right now. So, anyway, what do you think of kind of the group and Owen himself, I suppose, so far?
Yeah, they're an interesting sort of mix. And Owen's sort of, you know, trying to convince her that, like, basically she's gone nuts. We need to convince her to go back, is sort of what he's saying at this point. I mean, yes, he's sort of along with her, but I mean, yeah, he's sort of at that point, he's like, we're never going to find her, we're in the middle of a snowstorm, we're going to die out here, let's just go back. Which of course he doesn't manage to do, but yeah, I don't want to say like this group, but I think they're an interesting group. In there, and I'm intrigued to see which direction they go in post the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Now,
yeah,
I think that's going to be intriguing to see what happens next with them, mm-hmm. and whether they splinter or whether they stay together, or you know, that's going to be intriguing. So.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Owen is one of the more clear-thinking characters in this entire series, I think. So I know that you don't know some of the choices he makes later, but yeah. I tell you one scene that kind of made me really nervous is because there's a particular way. Now, they've done it a little bit differently in the show, but I think the way that they ultimately did it was fine. Is, okay, you're being told From what the sort of post okay from Ellie, the opening Abby scene, that you've been told very early on in the show that she's after Joel. You don't know why. You don't know that, like, okay, clearly they're mourning the Fireflies, but is there anything kind of more specific going on there? There were sort of hints of that. When she walks towards what is clearly the operating room, although, yeah, when she's walking towards that, and I was like, okay, if they have filmed this where she goes in there and you see her dad on the floor, I don't think they've done it correctly. So I was like, okay, please just don't go in that room. But of course, there was a different sort of purpose here, which is she's dreaming slash talking to her future self or past self or whatever, about like warning her not to go in there because of what's happened. I tell you another little detail I like as well. Now, when you get to that operating room at the end of the first game, there's a lot of different ways you can kill her dad. You can, I think you can probably stab him if you've got a melee. You can throw a Molotov at him if you want. You can throw a grenade at him if you want. Anything you want, really. Anything that you've got. If you've still got your flamethrower, you can do that. But I like the little, and it's not really important per se, but it's just a nice little canonical detail, because Pedro's Joel shot him in the head, which would cause, yes, his brains to be all over the floor. And she doesn't say, like, oh, his throat's been slit, or he's been stabbed in the chest or shot in the chest, because that's not what happened to this version of Jerry. Pedro's Joel went in there, shot him in the head, which would result in the injury she's describing. And because there's like interesting discussions in the community about, like, oh, how did you take him out? Did you do this? Did you do whatever, right? So I just thought that was a nice little detail that they put in. But I was a bit nervous for a minute of like, okay, you've got to be careful. I get that you're serving a different audience, but you've got to be careful of how you reveal this. And I think they wouldn't have done it. They didn't do it in the same way I would have done it, because I would have done it closer to the game still. But I don't really have a problem with the way that they did it, and I think it worked out okay. For you, as Abby is walking down this hallway and there's the alarm going off and everything like that, and they're talking about this person that's died, what was you kind of thinking was going on, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm not sure really at that point. I to be honest, that sort of bit of the sort of nightmare didn't stick with me particularly. So, but I mean, it's like, oh, she's having a nightmare, but it didn't sort of stick out to me in any other way, really. I guess so, but. I'm less familiar with the, I'm not familiar with the second game at all, and so I don't know. Yeah, interesting.
Okay, so you're kind of like more focused on what she was saying rather than like who she's going to find, I guess. Okay, cool. I think that's this scene covered. Ellie tells Jesse that she wants to go on patrol with Joel, but Jesse informs her that he has already left with Dina. Seems that Ellie obviously got a chance to sleep in and that. They have a town meeting, which Tommy holds. Maria gets Ellie and Seth to talk, and for Seth to apologize and give her a sandwich. Is this the bit we're to talk about? Yes, this is the scene to talk about it. I really like the, first of all, I like it in the game and I like it here. The kind of morning dialogue, if you call it, between Ellie and Jesse. I almost forgot his name. Between Ellie and Jesse. And I really, really love what Young is doing with Jesse as well. Jesse's a really, really lovable character who seemingly gets on with everybody. He just comes across as a really likable guy. He reminds me, not because of his race or anything, but because of the character type. He kind of reminds me a lot of Glenn in Walking Dead. Bit of a kind of younger version, I suppose. But like, yeah. Nothing to do with like where they come from or whatever. Obviously, there's like I think some similarities between Jesse and Glenn in that sense. But this just lovable guy who's just trying to be this kind of leader figure in the community. I really like it. So, and the other thing as well. There's some good teenage shows out there, right? There's things like Heartstopper, there's things like Love, Victor. There is I can't think of any others at the moment. Now, this isn't a teenage show. This isn't a YA drama, But this to me is how you do more kind of mature writing for teenagers. You can see there's some teenage bickering, some like banter of like, oh wait, you kissed Dina, and then it turns around like, I'm just kidding, I'm not really actually bothered by that, and Nelly just sort of gets pissed at him. I really love that exchange, both in the game and in here. The bit where she closes the door and him, he sort of pokes his head around, he's like, still kind of messed up you did that though. I really like that bit. I think that's really good. Because she has this idea of like, what she thinks he's more bothered by is the kiss with Dina. He pretends he doesn't really know or doesn't really know or whatever, and mentions the Seth thing. So I just really like this exchange. So what did you think of their conversation?
Yeah, I really like those two together, and that sort of bickering back and forth. There's almost like a sibling kind of bickering between the pair of them, which it's really quite sweet. And Young is great in that role. I can see what you mean about similarities to Glenn. There is a certain sort of bounciness to his personality. Mm. You know, there might be in the apocalypse, but he's still quite upbeat, and you know, but also kind of serious, and you know, sort of enjoys life but takes things seriously as well. So yeah, I rather like that, and the back and forth between the two of them is really funny, and Bella's just great with that sort of stuff with Ellie. I really, really like that scene, and the apology scene I thought was quite good as well. The sort of, you know, forcing him to sort of say, and I mean, he did seem, or he certainly came across as being kind of genuinely, I had too much to drink, and I shouldn't have said any of that. That was terrible of me, you know, and he did seem quite genuine in that. So, I thought these interactions, the little human interactions sort of before we get into the you know, the things exploding and all that sort of stuff, I rather like what they're doing with that. I mean, there was a lot of that in the first episode, and there's sort of slightly less here, but I think it's nice. It adds a nice texture to it.
I'll ask you a question. I know the answer to, I'm asking in a sort of spoiler-free sense or whatever it is I'm doing. So in episode one, it's very clear that, okay, I mean, we know about the lie and all that sort of stuff, but people in the town don't know and whatever, and that was reflected in episode one. She's walking through Jackson with Jesse here and mentioning, hey, I'm going to look for Joel. Turns out he's already gone, all that sort of thing. And Jesse points out, like, hey, but aren't you two sort of not getting along? And she's like, yeah, what I have with Joel is complicated, but I'm still him, he's still me, you know, that sort of stuff. Do you think anything else has happened there?
I get the impression that there was, you know, it's not just what we've seen. I think in the intervening 5 years, there seems to have been something else that happened for that relationship to break to that point. It seems to be slightly more than just sort of teenage daughter angst. You know, there seems to have been something else that has gone on there. Whether it's just that Joel has been overprotective, or whether Ellie's discovered he was lying and hasn't told him, or that it has, and I don't know. I mean, there seems to have been something else that happened there.
Okay. So interesting. I don't know much to say about this Tommy speech, and that was just nice and cool and everything. And a little, go to the forest. Yeah, we don't go to the forest. I thought that was just a good moment as well. I'm not sure what really to say about Seth here with the sandwich. At least he didn't turn around and say, you know, you're woke, get out of Jackson, or something stupid like that. But the Last of Us is better than that. So, you'd rather have him at least say, okay, I acknowledge what I did was bad. It doesn't mean that Ellie has to suddenly be like, cool,
no,
you know, shake your hand or whatever. I think her sort of response here is, you know,
absolutely,
is pretty accurate and pretty fair. So, Yeah, you get your there's a little line in the game when because you take them and then you're controlling Ellie and you walk off, Jesse's next to you, and he says like, "Oh, so you got the bigot sandwiches." So, and I don't think they said that here in the show, but that was a nice little bit as well. Ellie and Jesse, speaking of the two of them, then go on patrol and eventually take shelter in Eugene's weed place. They sort of park, if you want to call it that, the horses. They go to some this other building and find Eugene's weed place. They discuss Joel needing to kill him, and Eugene was a firefly. She finds a little firefly pendant thing, which Ellie does look at in a very particular way. I guess she's getting some memories and flashbacks of what happened to her. Eugene was a firefly until he didn't want to kill people anymore. This is where we can both kind of guess some stuff. Should I don't consider this a spoiler. Should I explain what happens to Eugene in the game? It's pretty much, it's not that terribly, well, it is different, but he's not on screen anyway.
No. No. I mean, no. Well, yeah, no. You can explain what happens in the game because he's not in the game, is
Yeah,
he?
it
He's
what
just
me
mentioned.
explaining what happened in the game, it won't spoil what's, because I don't know what's going on here, so it won't spoil it in that
Yeah,
way.
we do know that he's been cast, though, don't we?
Yes,
So
yes.
presumably, I mean, you can explain what they say happened to him in the game, and we
Yeah,
may
because
get to see it
it's a
on
completely
screen,
different
that's it.
path. You still get the same weed, well, sort of a similar weed scene. There's some there's some differences there, and I don't want to explain that part of it because I think you might see something else from that later, possibly. So we'll park that for now. But there's a conversation between Ellie and Dina about because Gail's not mentioned in the game or anything. That he, I think it was from a stroke or a heart attack. I think she said stroke in the game. That like, oh, Eugene went out from a stroke, and they sort of don't really mention it past that. Now, with that being completely different to, it seemed like Joel had to kill him, and obviously Gail was really pissed about that. But there's a conversation here between Jesse and Ellie of like, oh, damn, it's a shame that Joel had to do what he had to do. And there's this conflicting kind of look from Ellie of like, yeah, that was. Yeah, that was a shame. As if she knows something else, because I don't know what they're referring to either. This is like a new kind of
Right, okay. So
spin
yeah,
on
they've
that.
completely changed his story then. Yeah.
Yeah, they've given him more here in the show, arguably, but you still have the weed thing. You still have the Firefly connections. There's just the extra bit of instead of him dying from a stroke, it seems like Joel had to kill him. We don't know. We get some hints as to okay. He seemingly had to, but we haven't seen the context of that. So I have no idea what's going on in there either. Yeah, what do you think? Maybe kind of. Do you think Joel and Ellie are hiding some kind of secret about that? Because she had a bit of a different reaction there, didn't she?
I mean, it's possible that that's tied into to the sort of fractious relationship between the pair of them. Maybe Joel did something that she didn't agree with in there, and it's related to Eugene's death, possibly. I mean, we're entirely speculating here, but it is interesting that they've dramatically changed that story from the game, from what you're saying. And also, we know that Eugene has been cast in the show. So, presumably, we're going to see a flashback of that with
I think
Pedro
so,
back
yeah.
as Joel at some point. And I suspect, that's probably not it for Joel. We'll probably, I mean, it is in one way, but, I
In
suspect we'll
current time,
see,
whatever,
yeah, we'll see
yeah,
that flashback possibly.
there'll be plenty of Joel flashbacks. I'll kind of say that as well. I wonder if it's because okay, he was a Firefly still in the game. They still mention that, and they mention that he was doing some stuff with Tommy at some point. Because if you remember, Tommy and Joel were Fireflies in that 20-year jump as well.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's something to do with like, because obviously the Fireflies are directly connected to Ellie and the whole cure thing. Do you think that like Eugene found out something to do with the
Maybe.
lie, and he couldn't have him telling other people, and he had to maybe do something
Maybe,
there?
yeah, I mean, maybe Ellie was with him. Maybe Ellie got bit whilst he was there, and he had to they had to come clean and they killed him to cover it up. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting thing to find out, I think, later on.
But even for video game people. So,
yeah.
Very, very interesting bit of different story there. I don't think there's anything else to talk about from this weird scene, apart from the gas mask, which is something you can pick up and view in the game. That was a nice little fun thing to see.
Yes, it was very funny seeing Ellie like going, I'm taking this with me, I'm going to stuff as much weed as I can into my backpack. I thought that was great. Yeah.
I like her saying to him about, because even though he's like, no, you can't take it, no, you can't take the weed, she just does it anyway.
Yeah.
And I do like her saying, because clearly Jesse's trying to grow into being a full kind of leader. Mm-hmm. And I love her saying to him, like, hey, we all know you're going to be kind of the leader of Jackson one day, like when you grow up and that. But just let us kind of have this fun for now. I thought that was a nice little nod to kind of the way he is and how good he is as a leader and stuff. So I quite like that. In Jackson, the infected tendrils are discovered, redirecting the horde to the town, leading to a battle where Jackson suffers heavy damage and casualties. Tommy saves Maria by kind of distracting this bloater, drawing it away and eventually killing it with a flamethrower. There's a lot of stuff to like here. I saw some people blaming, we'll get to the Abbey and that horde and stuff in a minute. I saw some people blaming Abby for this horde, but I think we had it established from last episode that you had the tendril stuff already growing in it in the pipes, and that was already sort of on the way, and that was their sort of communication thing. But those are two sort of separate hordes anyway, so I'll tell you something else that I really liked here as well and thought was an interesting nod. If you remember, I mentioned in the preview podcast that in the game, when you eventually come across some other soldiers, people later on, and they have dog companions with them in the game, and the dogs will be able to sniff you out unless you, of course, you know, run away or kill them or whatever. And you have to start killing dogs because you either kill them or they will jump on you and bite you and eventually kill you anyway. I wonder if this is the show's way of like, hey, for dog lovers, here's some dogs that are the good ones, right? The ones that will be helping the heroes. They're going to come and save the day. But we're going to introduce to you later on some dogs that Ellie has to kill. So how do you feel about that? I thought that was a good way of kind of doing that. I do like the mechanic of the dogs here as well, coming out of this thing and helped to sort of save the day. But I wonder if that's a nod to, you're seeing the dogs do the good thing, but later on they might be hunting after Ellie and then she's going to have to kill some dogs if they show that later on. But I thought that was an interesting nod. Every single bit of this is completely new and original. I like the barrels mechanic of like flipping them, and that's where we find out the explosions are from. The actual horde itself, I saw a lot of comparisons this week to different episodes of Game of Thrones as well, with I think it was The Long Night, was it called? Was that the season 8 episode where they had the big episode 3 probably, or something? Yeah, with the Night King and all that. As I mentioned before, I love the, like, the noises from the infected and just kind of how cool that all is. So them kind of all coming together and you get clickers running through the snow and bloaters and everything. And then you get this bloater actually taking... I never quite thought I'd see the Wall of Jackson be breached and broken into like that. So I thought that was a really, really cool touch. And then again, just giving a very, very big highlight to Tommy, this whole setup, him being a leader and stuff. And even though I was fairly sure, because he still has some stuff to do from the game's plot, you know, one of them scenes you're watching in like a, you know, big drama, big show like this, and you're watching a main character that you're pretty sure is not going to die, but because there's doubt set in of like, oh, he ran out of the flamethrower stuff and this bloat is just about still alive, I wasn't completely sure in that moment that Tommy was going to survive, which is a good thing because I want to feel those sense of stakes. So that was I was like, are they going to actually kill Tommy here? Because even though I know stuff from the game, I still just wasn't completely sure. And I like that sort of tension and everything. So yeah, just just absolutely fantastic. Anyway, what did you think of the assault on Jackson?
I thought that was a great scene. Is Jackson attacked at all like that in the game? Or...
No, you don't really see it that much.
It doesn't happen like off camera or anything, or so that's interesting.
Not like that. I think that they mention like some small attacks and stuff, and they have their routes set up, like the patrol routes and things, but not,
yeah, but
not
you don't
this
get
kind
that.
Of thing. No.
Yeah,
the only way you can do this is if you play the no return mode and there's the Jackson map, but that's completely different. That's a sort of horde survival mode thing.
Right, so. Okay. Yeah. Now, that's really interesting that they've sort of added this big thing in. I mean, in part, I think to give the people of Jackson something to do, but I think it's well worthwhile. I mean, you know, like you say, it highlights Tommy not knowing the game and not knowing the where the plot was going, I did wonder if maybe it was Tommy that was going to end up getting killed this episode. But yeah, I thought they did an amazing job with that. The barrels were a really interesting idea because when they first dropped those things down, I thought, oh, are they spikes? Because I couldn't quite see when the camera's quite close when they dropped them down. And then, yeah, realized that there were things to roll barrels off, which I thought was a really ingenious idea. I thought that was quite clever as a sort of defense mechanism. They could have done with a few more barrels, I think, possibly. But, you know, apart from that, it was a really nice idea. Really nicely put together. I thought, as I say, it sort of reminded me of one of the better sort of set pieces that we had in Walking Dead. You know, it's kind of went a bit down that route, but these are far more deadly because they actually can run after you, whereas, you know, the Walking Dead zombies can't really. I thought this was just very well done, and the stuff with Tommy when he stood there with the flamethrower and the other two guys are like, screw this, and just kind of leg it as well when they're all stood in a line, and he doesn't sort of chastise them, he's just like, oh shit, and you know, and ends up kind of going after them himself. Tommy comes across great, and his wife comes across, his name's just gone out of my head. Maria.
At least you didn't call her Marlena like I do sometimes back.
Yes. Rutina Wesley is the actress playing her, who, if you're trying to place the face, if you've been looking at it, she was in True Blood. That was where people might know her from. Those two characters really came across well in that scene. And I'm glad that they're doing more of that if they're underserved in the game. That's what the show's been really good at, is lifting up characters that were sort of interesting side characters, and they've been sort of, you know, lifting them up in the TV show, which is really nice.
Rutina Wesley is like very new to me. I've never watched True Blood or anything, but with Gabriel Luna, he got given some decent stuff as was it Ghost Rider and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But here he's being able to kind of, I think, definitely flex his muscles a bit more, and have a more three-dimensional kind of character as well. I don't remember a ton of what he did as Ghost Rider because those episodes are years ago and I haven't watched him since. But when he did that, which was, it was still good, it's just not as good as what they're giving him here. So I quite like that as well.
I've interviewed Gabriel Luna as well.
Nice. Yeah. Because you said that you were kind of scared for Tommy as well. What did you think of, did you think he was also maybe going to die there as well?
Yeah. I mean, I when he's on the floor and the, you know, he's fire things run out and you're like, oh God, are they actually going to kill Tommy? And I really thought that they might, you know, he might be one of the people that dies this episode, and thankfully not, because I think that would have been too much given how the episode ends.
Take out both the brothers. I think there was a lot that happened there, but a lot of it was kind of taking out infected and stuff. So very, very good stuff again. Kind of connected to that sort of, not quite down the road, but up the mountain. Abby is rescued by Joel and Dina, where she accidentally awakens a large horde of infected hiding under the snow. Abby lures Joel and Dina to the mansion, saying he has a friend. Sorry, she has a friend. Friends, sorry. Who can help them defend Jackson? I really, really like what they did with the infected under the snow. She's waking them up, the sort of her sliding down the hill, her going off on their own. You play this bit as Abby in the
Oh,
game.
right.
And the interesting bit with this is, and you couldn't really do it kind of in the same way as the show, which again was where you're going to get bits of changes and adaption. I remember the first time I played Last of Us and I couldn't remember if I deliberately put subtitles on or not, or if they were on or whatever. But you start walking as Abby, and of course you're like, "Who's this person?" You've got completely neutral
Right.
feelings towards them because it's just a person you wake up as, and you're just walking. You have no reason to dislike them, like them, or really feel anything about them. And Owen wakes you up, and he's like, "Hey, I've got something to show you." Basically, he shows her the cliff of, "Hey, there's Jackson over there." And you're walking as Abby through this snowy mountain stuff, and they talk about obviously what they're gonna plan to do and stuff, and they have a little bit of a disagreement on which they sort of do here in the show because again he's sort of th this group is not really quite sure if they A should do this or B can. Owen's thought is more kind of at least in the show is like okay. Can we do this? Because we might all end up dead ourselves. But I like in the when the subtitles come up when they start speaking, it just says man and woman, so you have no idea who this person is at all. And then you st slowly start kind of going towards because she's like, "Hey, I'm gonna just get closer to it, and I'll kind of do this on my own if I have to," which is sort of the aim she's doing here. And you move through a few more areas, but they showed enough of what you're kind of doing here in the game. There's like loads of boxes and stuff that you climb over and all this sort of thing in the game, and you pick up stuff and shoot a few enemies. But you're mainly in this kind of horde section where you're just running from the infected. There is a little bit as well where you do actually slide down a little mountain, so I thought that touch was quite nice as well. And then, yeah, you slowly start coming across more infected that are actually, some of them are like stuck on the wall through ice, but then you sort of wake them up by accident, and then there's other infected that chase you. So it's about as close as you could do to the actual video game set piece. One of the other cool things is so this shimmy she does past the fence against the wall, you are moving the left stick forward and still controlling her in that moment. There's two small little differences here. I like the if you notice there's one of the infected's got their hand through the sort of fence because it's so it's because of the cordyceps and what it's doing, it's so determined that it's not even aware that it's well hurting itself or whatever, so you get that little bit. There's one other little touch in the game which is where one of the just before she crawls around that corner, one of the infected gets really close to her and takes her beanie off, takes her little hat off, and she loses that. Didn't do that here, but that's absolutely fine. And then yeah, it gets picked up pretty much the same way. So yeah, it's I loved seeing it, but particularly just when for me, it's when she lands and she sees them stuck there because they're not displayed quite the same way in the game. But I love this kind of the way they have certain small little overhead shots and you get this bit by bit of little different shot. You get this sense of okay, she's basically just landed in an infected pit and she's got to run for her life. I thought that was really, really good. I've kind of wondered for a while, because as I've been said, I've been thinking about this second season for years, what this solo Abby bit might look like with the snow and with the infected running after her and her outfit and the beanie and stuff. And pretty much looks exactly the same as what I thought it would. So I thought this bit was really thrilling to watch. Yeah, what do you think of this whole bit with Abby?
I thought it was great, and it's interesting because there were a couple of bits like her sliding down the mountain and her crawling through under the fence, which I was like, I wonder if those bits came directly out of the video game, because they felt, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they felt very video gamey. You know, right, it's right. Like, I can see this mechanic working in a Last of Us video game, you know. So I it's sort of interesting for me, having not played the game, to be able to sort of look at it and going, I wonder if that's pulled directly from it, because they feel like video game mechanics. But I mean, brilliantly done, and it works as a TV show because the game is so cinematic anyway. But yeah, the certainly crawling through the fence, I thought that felt like something that would probably have come straight out of the video game. So I'm glad I kind of got that right. But yeah, this whole sequence I thought was really interesting. It makes an awful lot of sense for the character, you know, for Abby to, you know, spot the people and sort of start to go after them because of how determined she is. So I think that makes an awful lot of sense. And then the kind of waking the horde thing. And yeah, I mean, she is partly to blame for the Jackson thing, because I think that horde wouldn't be nowhere near that size had she not gone and trampled all over them and woken a bunch of them up. You know, they wouldn't have been awake to be able to kind of feel the tentacles and go and run into Jackson. So she is partly responsible for it. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's one other change I want to pin for now, because I'm not, I think they might be doing something with something. So there's like a bit of a character swap at some point, but I don't want to mention what it is because I'm not sure what they might do. So for those of you listening, you might thinking like, why have I not brought up the sort of that bit? I'm gonna save that for now because I think they might be doing something else with it. So we'll have to wait and see. After knocking out Dina, because of course this is when they actually get to the cabin, they start warming up and everything. After knocking out Dina, Abby reveals herself to be the daughter of the Firefly doctor who Joel killed in Salt Lake City. She shoots Joel in the leg with a shotgun, same as the game. I think it's the other knee, but really doesn't matter. repeatedly hits his wound with a golf club, so hits the knee this time, and beats him until the club breaks in two. Ellie, who had been searching for Joel and Dina, is captured and forced to watch as Abby kills Joel by stabbing him with the broken end, despite Ellie swearing to kill Abby in revenge. She and her group spare her and leave. Was it Manny? Yeah, Manny, who kicks her in like the chest. She's clearly very, very injured from that. Jackson begins to recover from the carnage as well. It was almost kind of like you watch this really dramatic bit happen at Jackson, then this bit happens, and it's like, hey, remember we have infected the cleanup and stuff? And you're like, oh yeah, that's happening as well as this bit. It was a sort of like, oh yeah, people are dying at Jackson as well. Yeah, that is happening as Ellie, Dina, and Jesse return home with Joel's body. All right, there's a fair bit to talk about here. So, again, with the specific way that they're trying to do this, because there is a few little changes and stuff, I think they nailed what they were going for. The only real kind of major difference is here, now that I'm actually like, apart from the time of day and the lighting and the colour of the windows, which people were pointing out, I was like, okay, well, this is a TV set, so, you know, those things, some of those things might be different. So in the game, she does still take a golf club. She does still shoot him in the knee. That's just the way to kind of incapacitate him or to sort of get him injured. She takes her golf club and solely keeps hitting Joel's head and body with the same golf club. I'm not sure if it's a different, because obviously there's different types of golf club in there. I think it's maybe a stronger one or something, or a driver or something like that, I think it's called. And continuously beats his body, and then when Ellie comes in, she comes in the exact same way, like gunshot goes off, whatever, cut to, now the cut that she does, there's a character called Jordan who's not been cast in this show, which he's a character with a name who does a few things, but he's not going to be a major miss. He's the one that kind of notices Ellie and, let's say, closes her down or whatever, and she cuts his face. Now, in this, it's Manny who notices and goes to close her down, but he cuts her hand. So, not sure if they're going to do anything, like, different plot-wise there, because there's a little mention later of Jordan's cut face, so we'll kind of see what they do with that. The way she actually finishes him off in the game is because, again, she's got what I think is a stronger golf club. Again, I don't really do golf. I'm not familiar. is gives like one last crack on his head, which, okay, just to kind of compare violence for a second, obviously both versions are very, very violent anyway. I think the TV show is much, much, much worse, just from my own violent perspective. Just the, like, the act of taking, oh yeah, I've got this broken piece of the golf club, and then just stabbing him in the neck, as opposed to, because it's more like he kind of gets his head cracked open in the game, because there's still the bit where she, and he's, you know, please stop, please don't do this, she's still pleading and stuff, and then she goes to deliver the final blow, but instead in the game, it's just, okay, there's one last cracked at the head, and the way they sort of do the, you know, the buzzing audio afterwards, that's the game's way of telling you, like, okay, he's really, really injured, he's probably dying and bleeding out, but this is the note, the final kind of bit. I like both versions. I did see a lot of complaints again of, like, the windows look different, and the lighting's different, and things like this, and it's like, okay, but this is a TV set, like, you don't need to sort of copy that in the same way. And my thing with the windows as well, you're supposed to also have this bit where Joel, okay, he's, because he's obviously concerned about Jackson and wants to get that back there very badly, and because he takes his eye more off the group and off of Dina, because they think that they're just, you know,
a group,
warming up on that, and he's trying to contact Tommy on the radio. If you take the windows that you got in the game, which I don't think you'd call them blacked out, but you can't see through them, you wouldn't be able to do that part of the episode where you see Jackson, because it's supposed to have this added effect of, like, the doom, and Joel can't get back there, and Joel can't save, you know, he doesn't even know if his brother's alive, or, you know, whatever, which is where you have the adaption in the edition. Yeah, so you can't do that in the show if you can't see through the windows. So... the only other little difference as well, in the game, two of the characters, I can't remember which one of them, the group it is, take his arms and pin him against the wall, and then that's where you get, like, the first crack around his head. He still dies pretty much in the same body position, though, it's just those different little things. But then in the game, you didn't need the window to look out to do something, because Jackson's not being attacked, so it has that different function. But, yeah, it's just the case that let's say he tries to jump at Abby or jump at one of them. Owen's got his gun on him. One of them, was it Manny that had Dina hostage, I think? And if Joel goes, like, you know, screw it, I'm going to jump at one of you and try and kick you, they probably just both end up getting killed. So, again, I saw the same similar comments of, like, oh, if this is a Joel that we knew from season one, he would have ravaged and killed all of them. And I get why people are kind of thinking that, but you do just have to look at a situation sometimes and go, right, not only is he not the only one in the danger in the room. And Abby also says, like, hey, if you, because it's to do with the lie, right? Like, when did you last see the fireflies? Mm-hmm. Says, like, okay, well, if you don't tell me the truth, I'm just going to kill Dina, which I think she would have done. So yeah, again, once I digested this scene more, because the first time I was like, okay, I know what's going to kind of happen here, but are there going to be any differences, which is, okay, the next stab, the window thing with Jackson, and then the hitting in his knee, and that, all the mechanics they were going for with that, they did pretty much perfectly, I think. So yeah, I guess morally there's a lot to break down here in terms of, for me, you know, having digested this particular part of the story over 5 years, it's become more simple to me. Because, okay, let's look at Abby, right? In the show or in the game at this point, you're supposed to hate Abby. Once you then find out, okay, this was, her dad was the doctor and everything that got killed, And there is, I don't want to get into the Walking Dead stuff because I don't really want to still spoil that. There is a lot of similarities here between what goes on there with, the Negan stuff and what's going on here. Because, okay, let's say we'd followed Abby from season one. And you grow to love her, you grow to love Owen and Manny, and this would be our group. We wouldn't know Joel and Ellie. Then this guy comes along, kills our main protagonist's dad. We would all be sitting there going, right, you've got to kill this guy. But you flip the story around, and it's okay, we view Joel and Ellie as the heroes, and we view it as, well, there's a lot of different ways people view the kind of did Joel do the right thing, whatever. To me, it's kind of okay. There's the Ellie component to consider, and we've broken down Joel's choice before. I don't want to go over all that again, but you would look at it more heroically of, oh, he saved our main character, right? He saved Ellie. He had to do that thing. And one thing that Craig also pointed out as well is like, okay, sometimes if you just flip perspectives or you flip different bits, the heroes and the villains change in the stories. And that's just because, okay, is it a good thing that Joel killed the doctor? Not to Abby, no. Is it a good thing that Abby killed Joel? To her, yes, because she's getting revenge. But obviously we hate it because we love him. We don't love Abby. But if we loved Abby, we'd probably be rooting for her to kill this guy because he's killed someone that we love. And one of the big kind of themes in Last of Us 2 as well is the cycle of violence, and goes along this thing of, okay, this person doesn't like that this person killed this person, so then they kill that person, but then somebody else gets annoyed at them, so then they go after them and kill that person, and then someone that they knew finds out they're going after them and kill that person, and it just goes on as this kind of endless train of, okay, you did something I view bad because you killed somebody I liked, but that person who I like did something that you didn't like, so you killed them, but you killed them and I like them, so I'm now, mad at you. But at the end of the day, if you're watching this and go, oh my God, they killed off somebody I really love, I'm really upset by it. Good. Good. That you're not supposed to watch this scene and go, oh, Joel died. Anyway, what happens in the next episode?
Yeah.
You're supposed to. It's not nice. Don't get me wrong. It's not nice. And as somebody who's over the 5 years, obviously I've only seen this version of the scene 3 times. I've probably seen this 60, 70 odd times, and it never gets any easier. Even though I kind of have the whole full thing of like Abby's story and why she's done what she's done and everything else. Never gets any easier. Never ever gets any easier. Through all my playthroughs, for all the times I've watched other people play it and seen them do it, and the scene's been referenced in different videos and this, that, and the other, and everything else. But I like that it doesn't get easier because I like Joel and I care about him, and he's a character that I love. Has he done some questionable things? Sure, but who in this story hasn't done questionable things? So, again, I saw lots of kind of comments and questions this week about like, I'm done with the show because I love Joel, and it's like, okay, you're supposed to feel like that. You're not supposed to quit watching the show, obviously, but that's a good thing. And look, it's not nice, it's not easy. I've been here many times, but yeah. So, anyway, David, what did you think of the scene?
I thought it was brilliantly done. I mean, Bella was fantastic. I just the sort of on the floor pleading stuff was just phenomenal from her.
I felt that that got better on my second and third watch as well. Just
Yeah.
it just kept hitting more
Yeah.
each
I
time.
mean
So.
that really, really hit well. And I mean I thought that was just a brilliant piece from Bella. And the sort of Pedro as well. I mean, it's very much sort of caught off guard, caught by surprise. I entirely agree. I mean, he had he gone for the group, I mean, there was more of them, they were holding Dina, it would have ended up with just them both being dead. I mean, Abby. And again, Caitlin as Abby, just I mean, I don't know the rest of her, story, obviously, at this point, but I mean, comes across as a character that you're sort of supposed to hate. Certainly at this point in the story. And I mean, she was brilliant with the delivery of that, and also Manny as well, of whom kind of going, just do it already, you know. I mean, even Joel says to her, if you're gonna kill me basically.
And that bit, yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm gonna take my sweet time over this, you know. I the whole scene is really, really well done. And as to what you're saying about, you know, we've had many discussions about this for the Walking Dead, of like, you know, had we been following Negan's group from the beginning, you'd want them to do what he does to Rick's group. And
it's a revenge story flipped around the other way, isn't it?
Yeah, because had we been following Negan's group, those would be our heroes. And, you know, from their point of view, somebody sneaks in and kills a bunch of them for no apparent reason. And
yeah, you'd be annoyed by that, and you'd want to go and get them.
And you're right. Had this been the other way around and you'd been following Abby from the start, I'm sure, you know, Joel will be seen as the bad guy. But, you know, things are complex, people are complex, situations are complex. And, you know, we know why Joel did what he did. Did he do the right thing? That's, you know, a question we've debated as well and has been debated all over the place. But,
for like 12 years.
Yeah, no, totally. And understandably, I think the moral ambiguity of the whole thing is really interesting, particularly from the video game and also on the show. So, and saying you're going to quit because they killed Joel is like, well, no, go and watch your... you know, network procedurals, if that's all you're interested in. I mean,
the thing is, though, for people like, I'm pissed, I want to quit, don't you want Ellie to get revenge, right? So don't you want to watch and see how she gets on with that? Like,
yeah, you want to see what Ellie does after that. So yeah, I mean, I'm very intrigued to see where that story goes from there. And you know, how does Ellie spiral completely? Does she, you know, where does she go from that point? Now she's lost her father figure, you know. And I mean, so it's interesting because the entire first season, it was only Pedro and Bella as the main cast, and we've now got, you know, it's now Pedro, Bella, Gabriel,
quite a few,
Dina, and Isabella as Dina and Young as Jesse. So, you know, those are actually your main cast for it. So you can sort of see why they did that, given that Pedro will... Well, I mean, as I say, I suspect he will show up again, because there are going to be flashback sequences.
Good few flashbacks. So
but you know, he's probably not going to be in it as much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not like he's short of work.
no, certainly not. The lovely man. So
yes.
But I kind of remember, just to kind of reflect on like when I first played it and stuff. And she's kind of giving this allusion to you, I've come across you because you've wronged me. Now, when you've heard stories over particularly over the first game, of how many people Joel's wronged, I remember watching this bit, and obviously I was afraid for Joel's life and whatever. I was like, okay, this is probably someone Joel's come across who is annoyed, but who is it? Because you don't really kind of know until it's revealed. And I think that's one of the kind of key things with Joel's character, when you hear about like, oh, he did this and that and the other with the fireflies and the other people he's killed. And because you could have done it as like, you think of how this is done, right? And you think, okay, the random guy that Joel killed in an episode 5 or an episode 6 or whatever, that person's cousin or brother could, okay, we found this guy who's tall, Abby describes him, which, you know, whatever, could have been any of them, really. I do think the one of the more interesting choices is picking Abby's dad in this situation because of the whole choice and what happened in that room and how that ties together. One of the things I love a lot of stuff about The Last of Us, but one of the things I really kind of love about it is the moral ambiguity of someone's made a choice. Was it right? Was it wrong? Does it make him a hero, villain, gray area? Because while, let's say, TV-only people or whatever are in their right to go, Abby's done this, she's the villain. Is she the villain? Is Joel the villain? Who's actually done... It depends on what perspective you're looking at things from, because, okay, fair enough, you can look at Abby and go, she's done this thing, she's a villain in my eyes, but Joel's a villain in her eyes. So, any day you flip them around and one's the hero and one's the villain, there's no right or wrong answer to that in my eyes, because they both did things that they thought were the right thing to do in that moment. So, one other question I've kind of got for you, because obviously TV only person, at what kind of, because there's a few different steps to this, right? Like Abby looking for him, Abby finding him, Abby realizing it's him, then the whole journey to the cabin, then the act in the cabin. At what point did you kind of realize or think, okay, Joel's in more trouble than he could be?
It was when, I think they had Ellie on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it wasn't really until that point that I was like, oh crap, they might actually kill Joel at this point. It wasn't until they'd sort of, you know, they got her wrestled down and she's screaming at them not to do it, and you're like, oh wow, they are actually going to do this. You know, because up until that point you kind of think, you know, maybe there's, you know, she'll come in, she'll save him, or, you know, but when she comes in and they've like laid her out, you're like, oh, that's their, you know, there was the possibility that Jesse could sort of turn up and save the day, but at that point you were like, he was very badly beaten anyway, and you're like, you don't know. I still sort of had hope really until they got Ellie on the floor, and yeah, and you're sort of like, oh crap, they really might actually kill him. So
yeah, because sure, you got the thing of, oh, this man did me wrong, he's called Joel, I'm gonna go after him. Doesn't mean it's gonna happen, because of course how many people have tried to kill Joel over the years, but so you can't, as a TV only person, I suppose you can't just look at that and go, oh, that means she's gonna do it, because, you know, what if the story was different and this was another one that Joel got away from? What if Joel actually bested Abby in the situation and the you know, that sort of thing? So I was curious how they kind of handled that bit in the show. So I can't remember for me what sort of moment it was. I think maybe similar. I think for me it was when Ellie maybe got in there and you realized, okay, there's just way too many, as good as Ellie or any of these people can be, you're just outnumbered. And so yeah, I do remember one thought I had in the game was when Joel first gets his knee shot out. I was like, oh, Joel's gonna lose a leg in the game. That was my kind, because I had no reason to assume that he was gonna get killed here. Sure, she wants to and she might do it. It doesn't mean it's gonna happen. But I remember when he got his kneecap shot out in the game, and I thought like, oh, not necessarily you're gonna play as Joel with one leg, but he's gonna have one leg for a part in the story. That was, I remember what I thought at the time. So
just a little bit of trivia I've stumbled across as well. You mentioned Through the Valley, the song by Sean James, which he's used in the episode. It plays sort of as starts,
yeah,
as
really Ellie's over the bottom. They put that in. Yeah.
You realize that's actually sung by Ashley Johnson.
Yeah, I've got that on my phone.
Yeah. So people might not have realized that, who's of course the voice of Ellie in the video games that it's actually Ashley Johnson covering it. Was that used in the game as well?
Yeah, that was used in the actual original reveal trailer. So
yes, yeah,
yeah.
But yes, I hadn't made that connection, but yes, it's interesting that.
Mm-hmm. I actually bought the song after. Was it after this episode? It was very recently. I went and actually just bought the song on my phone. So
yeah.
It's not the best thing to listen to, but it makes me think of The Last of Us. So I was listening to it today at work while thinking about the episode. So. All right, we've got some feedback to get into, because that's the end of all of that drama. If you'd like to write in, of course, with any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, are you annoyed? You should be. If you're not, then I don't know. Let us know. Let us know how you're feeling and what your thoughts are. Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk UK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. We've got a few shorter ones, and we've got a few longer ones as well. So Abed writes in and says, Matt likes Abby more than Mel. Yep. Absolutely. I know it might not make sense right now. It's funny, I was looking at it, because Mel seems... I know she kind of annoyed Abby a little bit by sort of intervening and whatever. But I looked at her and I was like, there's something that you do later that's just going to really bug me, really annoy me. I am finding, because we got a bit more of them in this episode, I was looking at her and still remembering her Runaways character, who's much different and much nicer. And I was like, I wonder if, how I'm going to feel when it sort of gets to that bit. But I like Abby a lot more than I like Mel. So, yeah. I know we haven't had much of her in the show, but what do you think of Mel so far?
It's very difficult to say. I mean, she's been kind of a background character almost, just sort of part of that group so far. She hasn't really had a whole lot to do. And I mean, I can see people questioning that. If you don't know the game, I mean, I would question your taste of, like, why do you like Abby? But I mean, I am assuming there is some sort of either redemption arc or there is something more to Abby after this. I can understand why people are questioning that.
Josh says, as a show only person, I do not understand why Matt likes Abby. Is there more to the story? Fine, you can all write in and be very confused about why. That's absolutely fine. Yeah. Heck, some people who finished the game still hated her at the end, which if that's what you took away from a character, then that's what you took away from a character. Not everybody has to feel the same. But there's obviously more to her story. She's still alive. She's walked away at the end of the episode. And we'll see some more of her later. So, Abed writes in and says, when getting David to do death predictions, were you tempted to ask him about Joel and Ellie? Also, Matt, on your 202 spoiler-free review, that must have been an incredible challenge, especially as you struggled to speak. Yeah, I struggled to speak for a few different reasons. Off mic, I can be more of an emotional person, and I've always said that there's something about whatever it is that I've watched or played, or if it's may not a game that's gone really well or gone really badly, there's something about once I finish something, so once a match ends or a show ends or something, and I'm feeling a particular way, there's always something about the process of, okay, well, I don't just come in here and press a button and start speaking. I have to make sure things work, turn the thing on, and sound check, all that sort of stuff. And there's always something about that process that just eases me a little bit, and just kind of, it's also just something about kind of when you've got a mic in front of your face, it doesn't change your feeling or your opinion, but it sort of does something to you mentally, I think, as well, sometimes, because look, there's been certain Man United games I've come away from being like, what the hell are we doing in that game, and then I come in here, and it's just sort of slightly more relaxed version of that. But yeah, the two reasons was like, because even though I knew that was probably going to happen in terms of when this happens in the show and you want to do a spoiler-free review, that's going to be a challenge. And then I sat here and I'm like, okay, well, given myself this task, I'm going to have to speak about it in some way, shape or form. So there was the emotion of, okay, seeing this new version of this scene I've seen so many times and still being upset about Joel's death. But then that coupled together with, you can't talk about that bit because you wanted to do a spoiler-free review. Then putting those two things together. So, yeah. I don't know. I with this death predictions, it was okay. I'm going to read the cast list out so David knows who's playing who, and you knew some of them because some of them were in season one. I did kind of sit there and think like, okay, should I maybe point to a character or two? But I didn't want to give you any kind of am I pointing at that character because something happens to them? Or...
Yeah, I mean, and I'm glad you didn't do that. I mean, I did almost say Joel at the time, okay. And I mean, it was sort of in my head because as I said at the top of the show, I did, just because of how you've spoken a bit about the second game, and you talk a lot about playing Ellie and playing other characters, you talk very little about playing Joel in that game. From just the various conversations we've had over the years about it, so I did wonder whether Joel doesn't make it, but I was like, no, they're not, surely they don't do that, but yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, so I decided not to sort of mention it, but when it actually happened, I mean, it's a bit sort of, you know, season one Game of Thrones where you're like, oh, they are doing this then, you know, when you get to the end of it, and yeah, so it was slightly at the back of my mind that that was a possibility, but yeah, mm-hmm. I just didn't mention it at the time because I thought, no, that would seem too ridiculous to maybe suggest that, but yeah, so I didn't. But
all yeah. right, there we go. What else do we have next? We have a Facebook comment here. I wanted to bring this up as well. Of course, I've read many different bits about people's opinions this week. I don't have the original post in front of me, but I've got my reply and their reply, so I just wanted to kind of share that. It was basically somebody saying, okay, I'm really bothered that Joel's dead and I'm really annoyed, and I said, so you're bothered that character you like died? Good, that's how you're supposed to feel. And they said, I've read hundreds of comments on both sides, but this is the first thought-provoking comment that is not mean-spirited or rude to readers. Point blank, you're very right. I personally am too old to play games. No, you're not, but if that's whatever. To play games, so I've watched this just as a story and was devastated. Yeah, I saw some replies in there of like, you're an idiot, you're stupid, that, you know, I'm obviously not going to do anything like that, but just wanted to kind of, yeah, point blank say like, hey, so you love this character and they died and you're bothered by that, which is good, because you wouldn't want the opposite, which is, oh, Joel died, okay, all right. Yeah, and I get that in certain shows, like let's say some of our bigger shows, big characters that you love can die, but it will annoy you in some points because the way they've done it is like stupid, or like they've died from something stupid, or you find out later, yeah. It's like, oh, contracts, this, that, and the other, the character had to be taken out of the show, and that just doesn't obviously hit in the same way. So yeah, yeah, there you go. David, anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a fair point. You know, yes,
this person is called Teresa, by the way. I didn't actually say their name, did I? No, person is called Teresa, so
but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That is how you're supposed to feel, when that happens to a character. It sucks when it is done and you know it's been done for a financial reason, mm-hmm.
Feels more forced reason. Or whatever, yeah.
Weirdly, it's been quite a bad week if you're also a fan of 911 as well this week.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yes. Because that was done for creative reasons. It was not done because the person wanted to leave the show, or it was because they felt that they needed something big to shake up the show. And it was done for a creative reason, you know, and will have a massive implication on everybody else on that cast. Mm-hmm. So I think if it's done for the right reasons, you know, killing characters off, absolutely, you know, even if they're loved characters, sometimes it's the right thing to do. you know? And yeah, you are supposed to feel upset about it. It's not supposed to be a pleasant experience. You know, and it certainly was something like The Last of Us. You're in a very brutal world. So, you know, it's very fitting with the show. Just as like with something like 911, you know, you're in a group of people that are firefighters. They're in a very dangerous profession, you know. So it makes sense that some of them are not going to make it through to the end. So, yeah, I mean, I think if it's done for the right reasons, then yes, it sucks when you find out that it's like, oh, you know, they wanted to get rid of some actors because of money or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, with some of them, you can kind of, the way a plot unfolds, and like, this doesn't seem right. This seems just weird or just off.
If it's out of character or that sort of stuff.
Whereas, yeah, someone does something wild. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in both the case of this and in the case of 911, it's very fitting for the particular character, you know. So, I mean, yes, I just never thought I'd be comparing Last of Us to 911, but there you go. it just happened that we've had two quite, you know, vastly different shows, but with major character deaths over the last sort of week or so. So, but yes, if it's done for the right reasons, absolutely, you know. You're supposed to be upset by it. That's sort of the point, you know. But it will have, you know, in a story like this, that character death will have a huge influence on everybody else that's around them. So, you know, there is a purpose to it.
I'm curious to see how they handle some of the mourning next week. I don't mean the mourning as in the daytime. I mean as the grieving act. How they do certain bits with that, particularly the different Tommy bit as well. That's going to be interesting to see. Beth says, so Last of Us Season 2 covers Game 2, Season 3 covers Game 3, and Season 4 covers Game 4. Yep, that's, yeah. That's going to
work. I'm assuming they're being sarcastic.
Yes, well, if you shoved that out over the next couple of years, then Neil Druckmann's been very, 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 very busy. So,
I mean, Bethesda randomly shadow dropped a complete remake of Oblivion this week without telling anybody, and then just suddenly, surprise, here you are. So that seemed to come out of nowhere, I as far as I can tell. So,
what about if we get to the end of season two and Neil Druckmann goes, oh, here's Last of Us 3, by the way?
I mean, I don't think that's probably gonna happen, but yes.
So. Yeah. There we go. And then lastly, Warren says, just wanted to thank David for Geektown. There's been an increase in not only AI fake images and news, but also clickbait and hate bait news out there. I'm fairly new to you both and discovered you both around the same time near Christmas. My question, if given the chance, what would you both say to the cast and Neil and Craig if you ever met them? Just on the AI stuff there, it was interesting when, which podcast was it for? I think it was the season two preview or the spoiler preview. It was one of them two. And not to name names, but I am going to name names. There's a channel called Screen Culture, and they've been pointed out by other people. I watched somebody else's video on them the other day. Because usually how, I know we both do thumbnails differently because obviously we've got our different purposes for that. I usually just try and grab an image just related to either the episode or the film or the whatever and try and just go from there. And I was looking for just like, okay, season two images that we only had the trailer footage, and I typed in Last of Us season two expecting, okay, like maybe, you know, 20 odd different images from the trailer, and I would just pick one of them, resize it and do that. There were more AI images on the, at least on the initial Google search, and about six of them were from the channel called Screen Culture, and they've been doing things like repackaging different bits of trailers for like certain fake videos and stuff. And there was, yeah, there was about six, so almost like a quarter of the images I first saw when I went to grab that were from that, and not even from the actual real, you know, trailer that had come out. But yeah, there's hate bait's a good word to kind of describe it. These people that just make, you know, rage content, and they find any little thing to kind of nitpick from something, and then just kind of expand that discussion. There's also just still basic clickbait out there, which is, hey, this thing's happening. Turns out it's not. Yeah, David, what do you think of that?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, because I am very careful with the news that goes out on Geek Town, and I am very careful to make sure that it isn't clickbaity. I will usually put things in titles unless it's a spoiler. I know I could probably get more clicks by putting clickbait stuff up, but I am very, very aware that how much and how annoying it is, so I just don't do it. Same with the generally with the thumbnails. I mean, there was an example, I made a thumbnail recently for they've just announced a new FBI spin-off called CIA,
right.
I needed a picture for it, but the image that's used in that isn't an official image. It's something that I threw together, but there is a purpose to it. Although it's not an official image, it's not it's not lying about anything in there. You know, it's a shot of the actor comped onto a thing with a logo. You know,
Is there any actual pictures for the show? Because they just announced it, didn't they?
No, exactly. They literally just announced it. So there aren't any images for the show right now. So I need an image to go up with the article. So I will put something together for that. And that's the only time I will do that sort of thing. But the image isn't a lie about what the show is, because we know what the show is, you know. So I am very careful about the stuff that I put together for that sort of thing, you know, and the shots that I use and thumbnails that go up and the actual content of the article. If something is a rumor, I am very, very careful to make sure, look, this is a rumor. Yeah. And usually I will only post those sort of articles if I know that it's come from a reputable source in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to get the sort of stuff that you get on a lot of those clickbait articles about, you know, so-and-so is playing something or other in the next Marvel movie. And
it's usually a lot of Marvel DC stuff, like, oh, this person's been cast in the DCU reboot for whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Henry Cavill's coming back as Superman. That's what
the Henry Cavill's coming back as Superman and all that sort of stuff. And those things, unless they've come from a reputable source, and there are a lot of things that, I mean, there are certain sites which are renowned for posting that sort of stuff, and one in 100 they might actually either have guessed right or have found an actual genuine piece of news, but so much of that stuff is just made up. And you know, I never want Geek Down to be that.
See, the thing is with this screen culture as well, they do things like, let's say there's a Thunderbolts trailer, right? And they'll either do their own bit of editing or AI or whatever, and they'll do something like put an actor in a costume for like fake casting news and stuff. Or like one of the ones I did for Last of Us was they had like this Abby and Joel kind of tussling with each other, or one of them is grabbing the other one or whatever, and Ellie's pointing at them with the gun. It's like there's no image or footage of that anywhere, because that's not been in any trailers or any episodes. In order to make you think like, oh, this is a bit where this whatever happens or something. It's to make you think and feel a different thing as to what the trailer actually is for. So or they'll do something like put an Avengers Doomsday thing out, and then they'll put like Mahershala Ali's blade in there or something in the picture.
Yeah,
you go, oh, but a blade's in this or something. So
I mean, hopefully you might see a little bit less of that, because YouTube has actually demonetized all those trailers. They only fairly recently, the end of March, they actually they'd had so many complaints about those sort of AI-fueled trailers that they completely demonetized them.
Good.
So,
because you don't need to do them.
Yeah, because it had got so ludicrous at that point.
Onto your actual question, what would we say if you, because you just mentioned that you've talked or met to some of them. Depending on which one I saw first, I would just say, like, it's great to meet you. Thank you for being part of The Last of Us. If they want to talk about it, it depends on what context. Like, am I on stage with them at a panel? Am I in the crowd for a panel? Is it a meet and greet photo shoot thing? Is it, you know, how much time do you actually have with the person? But I would always say something along those lines. It's like, thank you for being part of something I really like. I really like the bit that you did, depending on who I'm talking to, the bit that you did. And just chat to them that way. So, yeah. How about you in that sort of situation?
I mean, if I was just sort of meeting them at a party or something like that, then yeah, I would just be praising them on how good they've been on that show. Particularly, I mean, I probably want to talk to Neil about how.
I've got a lot of questions I would ask Neil. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody that listens to the Geek Does interview stuff, know I talk a lot to less to actors and more to behind the scenes people. So it would be probably more I'd like to talk to somebody like Neil about, you know, where the story idea came from, where the process of getting it from the video game onto screen. I mean, I know some of that's been out there already, but I mean, I it'd be more sort of into that kind of stuff. And, you know, what was his favorite things to do and memorable moments and all that kind of thing, I think. I mean, Neil will be somebody that or even Craig would be great people to get on. Cause I mean, if I had Craig on, I'd probably want to talk to him about Chernobyl as well. The actors, I mean, actors are always fun to interview, but you never get much time with them, unfortunately.
All right, well, that's it for this small little bottle episode, this kind of in between, this the setup episode, I think it was. Yeah, so anyway, very, very curious to see where they go with certain stuff next week. Just remember that if you are a video game person and you haven't maybe checked it out, maybe you didn't see it in your feed or whatever, I have already done the 202 Future Spoiler Predictions episode where I'm no longer doing what they call Joel Death Watch. And predicting when that might happen. Some people thought it might happen at the end of the season. I just never thought that was a possibility. Because, yeah, anyway, I've already dug into that on those ones. Yeah. So, all right. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcasts. So look out for all those when we do them. Still got a bunch of films to see, but it depends on cinema listings and whatnot. But if you want to support what we do over here, which that would be very nice, you can simply listen to more of what we do on entertainmenttalk.org or podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, May Night podcasts. So listen to more stuff, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, I'm sure you'll come across somebody that's talked about Last of Us this week somewhere, whether it's, yeah, anywhere really. Please mention this podcast if you do. So there's that. Of course, Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, as David mentioned and as Warren mentioned, Geektown, geektown.co.uk, Geektown Radio on Tuesdays. Look out for all that. There was a Geektown Radio from yesterday. David, that's yours. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Geektown Radio yesterday was fun. That Gray was on. I was a little lighter on sort of general news this week, so we were talking about quite a lot of different stuff. We've talked a bit about Doctor Who, how that's going, dived into Black Mirror, particularly the Bernie or Barney's thing, which I thought was really fun. The Paul Giamatti episode, which is called The Eulogy as well, of Black Mirror this season, is absolutely outstanding. We do talk a bit with spoilers about that 911 episode as well, so there's that. Light and Magic on Disney Plus, a bunch of other shows as well. There's some breakdowns of things at Star Wars Celebration and stuff that was announced there. If you're a Star Wars fan, there was we went through a lot of that. A little bit about Last of Us, obviously, in that episode as well. So that's episode 457. You can find that on wherever you get your podcasts, or go to geektown.co.uk for that. There is also news going up on the site. We've had a few bits and pieces. There's a bunch of new highlights for Disney Plus. CBS are picking stuff up at the moment. We're hurtling towards Bloodbath season, which is end of April, start of May, where everything gets renewed and cancelled. And we are starting to see them come forward with some of that sort of stuff. CBS are pretty much done at the moment. There's one show which could still face the axe, and we're waiting for NBC's other shoe to drop, because that could be a real bloodbath this year, because they have to clear a load of scheduling to put basketball on, because they've bought a ton of basketball and they haven't got space on the schedule for it. So that's going to be kind of interesting. So yeah, geektown.co.uk, you'd be a lot of updates on that sort of stuff over the next couple of weeks, certainly.
Nice. So go over there and get your TV and your film news. Yeah, and then YouTube Entertainment Talk plays for all those bits and pieces as well. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.